Rayon libre.
Visiblement, il semblerait que vous n'appréciez pas la bicyclette, mes amis, hein? Vous estimez sans doute que le monde n'a pas besoin de pratiquer le vélo, hein? Que le monde n'a pas besoin d'un peu de cyclisme ni de savoir-vivre, hein?
Rayon libre sur Cause Commune.
L'idée, c'est que toutes les personnes qui peuvent faire du vélo le fassent. Et il y a encore de la marge, hein?
Je pense que le vélo, c'est tellement un outil qui rend libre.
Rayon libre, présenté par Jérôme Sorel sur Cause Commune.
Bonjour à tous, bonjour à toutes. Encore une émission en anglais. Bah ouais, Rayon libre s'internationalise. Promis, le jour où on aura les ressources, on ajoutera une traduction en simultané. Promis aussi, notre échange sera retranscrit dans son entièreté par écrit et en français. Aujourd'hui, la lumière est. D'abord, bienvenue sur ce Rayon libre, une success story aujourd'hui qui nous vient d'Australie. Je vous rappelle quand même, avant d'aller en Australie, que vous êtes sur Cause Commune 93.fm, que cette émission n'est pas en direct. Elle a été enregistrée le lundi 16 septembre 2024. N'empêche, là, au moment de sa première diffusion sur la bande FM, il doit être à peu près 14h01. Rayon libre et Cause Commune, vous allez finir par le savoir, s'écoute en streaming sur notre site web cause-commune.fm, en podcast sur toute bonne plateforme. On est en train de se mettre sur YouTube également, via l'appli cause-commune disponible sur iOS et Android, et vous pouvez aussi nous écouter en DAB+, et puis aussi bien sûr sur votre transistor, sur votre autoradio si vous avez une auto et une radio, et là c'est sur 93.1. N'hésitez pas à vous abonner à notre flux, liker, partager, commenter. Et pour construire Rayon libre, il y a toute une équipe. Il y a Olivier Gréco qui est le patron de Cause Commune. Il y a Abel Guggenheim qui est le papa de Rayon libre. Il viendra conclure l'émission avec sa chronique. Il y a aussi wills.west-france.fr qui relaye ses émissions. Merci, presque toutes, merci à Wills. Merci aussi évidemment aux auditeurs, aux auditrices. Continuez à réagir ici ou là à ce qu'on vous propose. Vous pouvez me retrouver moi sur LinkedIn, Instagram. Faites Jérôme Sorel, SO2REL, et puis vous tromberez sur moi quelque part à mon avis. Merci enfin aux invités qui se succèdent pour nous raconter leur vélo à eux et à elles. Now let's switch in English. When you think about the setup of the bike industry, you can be surprised. It's divided into main channels, what we call the bikes, which are bikes. A bike is a full set of parts being assembled. With full set of various suppliers to be able to build a bike and buy a bike, you need to find various suppliers. One for the tires, one for the frame. If you don't build it, one for the rims, another one for the chains, the saddle, etc. The other side of the market is called the parts and accessories. In a nutshell, parts are the pieces which are needed to be on the bike to become a bike, and accessories are all the products which are enhancing the experience on the bike. Accessories can be bibs and jersey, helmets, locks, bags. Some accessories, to the contrary, essential. Everything but not accessories. Think about lights, front and rear lights. These are essential, even vital. So vital and essential, in France, by law, the bike can't be sold without a front and a rear light. To comply with the law, you get a set of lights. Unfortunately, these lights are cheap, inefficient, shitty. Seeing and being seen on a bike is not accessory. Even if you decide to ride your bike in your garden at night, better to see where you put your wheels. Today we will talk about lights. I have the privilege to have in the studio an Australian mate. Well, a mate, yeah. Hugo is one of the founder of this brand named Nog. Do I say it well?
Yes, you say it perfectly. Nog.
Yeah. Yep. Let's explore the Nog success story, the starting point, the why Nog from a bike accessory company to probably an outdoor company, if I'm right. And also we'll take the opportunity of having Hugo with us. What does it mean to be such a big brand? Because now I think you are getting a big brand, an international brand. It's not only about product. Isn't it much more than thinking and marketing product, being a head of a company like Nog? But let's have a chat with Hugo. Bonjour, Hugo.
Bonjour.
And welcome in France.
Thank you very much.
So you're flying from Melbourne, right?
Yeah, I came from Melbourne. We're doing different launch parties in about 12 or 15 countries around Europe.
Because you have a lot of things to tell to the market?
That's right. A lot of new, we're actually launching a rebrand of Nog, which is now 22 years old.
Yeah, exactly. It was set up in 2002, right?
2002. So a lot of lights, and now a lot of other products as well.
Yeah, and this is what I was saying in my intro. You switched from a bike company, I would say, a parts bike company, to an outdoor company, I think.
Yeah, we haven't really switched, but we have expanded the range of products. So we now, in fact, we deal with night sports. Really, I mean, we do running, we do outdoor.
Trail,
exactly, and of course all sorts of bike, whether it's gravel, road, mountain biking, any aspect of that, commuting, That's really where the core, our core passion is.
My question I want to ask you, first question probably, Hugo, for you, is what makes Nog different from all other brands we can find on the market?
Such a good question.
I'm starting well.
I think when we started, we prided ourselves on the fact that we didn't want to do anything the same as another lighting brand. So innovation was the core.
Yeah.
We made products that looked like sex toys out of silicon, and people would sort of question what the hell are they doing, but they were really functional. They were really an extension of people's personality, and they took what is a typical commodity and turned it into a product where people could express their personalities and have fun with it.
It's still a serious product.
It's a serious product. Yeah. Lighting helps with safety, and it helps with being able to explore your own freedom and get out and do things which you wouldn't do without a light if you're on a bike. But it doesn't have to be serious in the way that the products are presented, in the design, and particularly in the marketing. And so we've had a lot of fun over those 22 years, pretty much, causing a lot of people to look at us and go, my God, this is really a lighting company. This is a bike company. We do things quite differently.
So they didn't see you as a serious company at the beginning?
No. I actually wasn't a cyclist when I started, and I wasn't a salesperson. I'm a designer. So
Are you cycling now?
Yeah, I do cycle.
Good.
I do. And in actual fact,
I cut you, but you started as a designer, right?
I'm an industrial designer, and my co-founder or co-partner is an engineer. So we came from that side. And when we introduced the products initially, people looked at them and said, they're not like normal cycling products.
Yeah.
So we then started to get involved in a lot of other cycling genres and had gravel bikes and road bikes and mountain bikes ourselves, and realized the importance of product testing and getting involved. But the essence of what we did was to still try to make sure that our products were different from anything else on the market. And now I think more than ever, after 22 years, the aspect of quality and having a product which is fit for purpose and is completely sustainable, is rechargeable. We don't look at alkaline. There's a lot that goes into a very simple bike light.
We will talk again about rechargeable, because I think it's one of the main thing, and I think it's a very good point we need to discuss about. I still want to ask you, during these 22 years, what has been your main driver?
I love design.
Yeah.
I love business. And I've enjoyed growing the business. We now sell over 300 products in about 60 countries. So we design everything in Melbourne, and we have a team of 25 people in Melbourne, and then we have production people in China. But the excitement of having a new product idea, looking at the market, understanding the opportunity, and then the process to get that to a point where we can launch it and see people enjoy the unboxing experience and enjoy the product, that brings me the satisfaction I need to keep going.
Another question, even though you weren't a cyclist at the beginning back in 2002, what has changed according to you, main change in the cycling industry in the last 20 years?
Obviously e-bikes is the obvious one now, because e-bikes for us also has impacted our ability to sell an accessory light, because every e-bike comes with light. So we have to change the focus and direction, the technology, and a range of other things. I think online sales have changed the way that bike retailers and people buy bikes, and that also has changed the whole nature of the industry.
So this is a distribution.
The distribution, the approach to distribution, and the ability to understand and have someone come and fit a bike and work with you to understand that, it needs to be maintained, and there's a whole range of other things that maybe don't happen as effectively with an online transaction.
Back to what you just said, e-cycling, e-bikes have changed massively the industry, but you as a accessory, light accessory, don't you have the feeling that you've been out of the joy?
No, because there is always going to be an opportunity. People who go and ride on gravel, don't want an e-bike because they're going to be away for a weekend. They're the weekend warriors. There's always a really interesting aspect to new genres of cycling, whether it was back 15 years ago, it was fixed gear, where the first of our lights, the little silicon frog light that we've sold, probably over 7 million units of that.
7 million.
7 million units. And so, you know, that was really what put us on the map, because people who suddenly got into fixed gear, got into cycling really cheaply. They didn't have to buy a new bike. They get an old frame and some wheels and put it together. It was simple tech, and our lights supported that idea. So there will always be opportunities, but we now also have lots of products suitable for e-bikes.
Yeah.
And we work with the bike manufacturers on that early OEM level as well.
Yeah, it was my next question. Now we can see some NOG product done, installed at the origin with the manufacturers.
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
In fact, it's been a big focus for us in the last couple of years to make sure, because we could see the change in transactional aspects when e-bikes came about. And clearly, with 60% of bikes being sold in Europe being e-bikes, it changes the landscape.
Yeah. Another thing which has changed, and you said this on the mic, it's not really linked to the industry, but it's linked to the bike users, as you said. I mean, back in 2002, no gravel, for example, ultra distance was kind of not existing or pretty much close to none.
Yes.
It means people are using their bikes differently, and you need to be with them and to propose a great experience with your products, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And look, even thinking about things like cargo bikes or the functionality of what people are using them for, it's not just sporting, road cycling, or mountain biking. You know, BMX was a thing, and then it wasn't. Now it is again. There's so many tribes of cyclists who are all in it for fun and in enjoyment and excitement. And that's, I suppose, the passion that we enjoy, just jumping on that idea that you can help people enjoy what they're doing, but they can actually do it when the sun goes down. So, you know, that just extends their ability to go out and ride and enjoy.
You go your wife. I mean, you founded the company. You were two, three guys, or you
just myself and my business partner. Yeah,
and he's still your business partner.
He is. Yeah, 36 years. We had a design company for the first 13, and we've worked together for like an old married couple for as long as I can remember.
Okay. Yeah. And you set up the NOG company. You just said before you are in 60 countries, right?
Yeah, we sell in 60 countries, and we distribute through about 42. Yeah.
How do you handle, because I mean, you have to think global, but you still have to act local. For example, in France, how do you distribute? How can we find your products?
Yeah. So we work with a fantastic distribution company called Now Company. And Now Company, actually, it's the reason I'm in Paris now, because they're working with us to have a big launch party in Paris for our new brand.
Yeah.
So the brand logo and our approach to brand is being relaunched through Now Company and their team. They basically will take it through to all of the dealers in France and in Belgium and elsewhere. And then we have different distribution partners for most of the European countries, and then through America and South America and Asia and Scandinavia, etc.
And me, if I want to buy a NOG product on the website, do I go through your distributor in France, or does it go straight from Melbourne?
You can buy wherever you want.
No, but does it mean, do they handle the logistic for the French market also when it's bought on your website?
No, from our... if you bought from NOG.com, then it would either be out of a US or a European warehouse.
Yeah.
But the reality is that people buy on ProBike, or they buy on Amazon, or they buy on wherever. So we are there just really to support people who want to buy direct from the brand. I think our focus is still significantly greater on the bike dealer, because I think that the story for someone who's looking to buy a bike and can go into their local bike store and find the accessories that they want, and they can try them and they can look at them and feel them, is a far...
And they can ask.
They can ask, and they get service, and they get a response, is a far better outcome than just buying online. Online is a necessity, but it's not necessarily the best option.
We after the agenda and the break with music, we will talk about the big company means big responsibilities. Hugo, if you're fine with that,
do I have a choice?
I think you have. I come with my questions, you come with your answers. Okay. chers auditeurs, chères auditrices, j'ai donc comme interlocuteur aujourd'hui Hugo de l'entreprise australienne Nog. Hugo est l'un des fondateurs de cette entreprise. Ces lampes toutes mignonnes, toutes belles que vous pouvez poser sur vos vélos, sur votre tête. Il faut aussi des sonnettes et autres cadenas connectés. Et puis je vous propose maintenant une pause musicale. Et si on s'écoutait Work, Work, Work de Lahahar, le moment de monter le son et de vous mettre en danseuse. Oui, mettez-vous en danseuse même si vous êtes au boulot. On se retrouve dans 3 minutes. Vous êtes toujours sur Cause Commune 93.fm. C'est la deuxième partie de Rayon Libre avec Hugo. On parle Lamp Success Story parce qu'Hugo, c'est le fondateur de l'entreprise Nog. J'ai envie de lui demander, mais je vais lui demander en anglais. Donc, back to English, buddies. Being a global brand, one of the key to success is to be inspirational, I believe. What does it mean for Nog to be inspirational?
Another great question. You know, we have had a range of different strategies over the 22 years. And I think one of the things that we've always done is to look at things differently. Most recently, in fact, after COVID was around, we found that the industry and I think many people were fairly depressed because of the having been locked down and the difficulty of that. And I found that we as a brand needed to do something to become more relevant again. And so we looked...
As a brand or as a company or both? Is it both?
Both. I think we needed a shot in the arm, but I think the entire industry had sort of come out the other side of COVID and there was overstock. People were a bit lazy. They didn't know how to sell. People had stopped buying bikes because they had bought so many during COVID. It was just a different environment. So it was a great time to relook at ourselves and decide that in fact we had lost some of the spirit that we started with 22 years ago.
Okay.
And so we found a new head of global brand, who's Monty.
Yeah.
And she's a, Cuban New Yorker with a fiery attitude that basically worked in all the right ways. She brought on a new creative director, and the team we have back in Melbourne just like lit up. And so with that, we have changed our logo, our approach, our brand, our marketing, our social media. To answer your question, I think a lot of that goes into the approach to try and make the brand exciting.
Practically, what does it mean to change the brand and change the company?
It means rethinking the strategy. It means looking at
But for the consumer, which is at the end of the and probably also for your partners in business, and also probably for your employees.
Yeah, well, they will see an approach which is what we call technically unconventional.
Okay,
that's the new byline that we're working to, and a new logo, and they'll see new packaging, and they'll see a whole range of new products. And through 2024-25, we'll be releasing a whole range of collections of products, which are limited edition products that are really exciting. And we've done our first. It sold out within 4 days. And so it's this sort of looking at creating some additional demand, but doing things which are exciting for the consumer as well as exciting for us, because everyone who works at the business finds the passion when we put a product out and it sells in 4 days and you go, oh, my God.
And there is no point to be bored.
Yeah, exactly. So that you can generate that excitement.
Yeah. Yeah. Hugo is a bigger, I mean, you were saying you sold 7 million units of this little light,
yep.
Right?
Yes. 7
million, I mean, the bigger is the company, the bigger are your responsibilities, and the more light you build and sell, the more batteries you use. So then you also use cobalt, copper, manganese, lithium, and all these kind of things. Any programs to raise consumer awareness about this product and about these subjects?
Absolutely. So there's a series of environmental groups that the cycling industry is involved in, and we're signed up to those. All of our products now are designed cradle to grave so that we have complete sustainable and disassembly processes to take the batteries out for recycling. So it's a requirement, but it's something that we've been doing for a long time.
But you are not communicating, I mean, at least on your website, we can't see it. Is it?
We need to do a better job at making sure that people are aware of that. And I think that's with our new creative and global brand manager.
It's Monty's job.
Yeah, it is one of the things that we have on her list to make sure.
Yeah.
So it's a work in progress. But the sustainable aspects, I mean, we have not had single-use plastics in any of our packaging now for 2 years. All of our products don't use plastics when they don't need to, and as I say, they can be disassembled. Yeah. So there's a lot of... And I think probably 10 years ago, we refused to use alkaline batteries.
Yeah.
So we've done what we can within this technology space to try and improve and make the best possible outcome for the environment. Because believe me, when you make 7 million frogs, before we were that environmentally sensitive, and half of those were made in little plastic containers, and you look back and think, oh, my God, what did we do? I mean, that's bad.
Yeah. And one piece is pretty much nothing, but 7 million is quite, I mean, it can be an issue.
Mm.
And you have to be responsible. I mean, you have to feel responsible for that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we've actually been talking with Now Company too about recycling programs within dealers, and that's something that.
So we can bring back our old nog at some stage, maybe they are getting old and don't work
correct.
Anymore.
Yep. And that's the program that we've been trying to work on. Not an easy problem to fix, but it's certainly one that we have been working and workshopping for some time.
Also, you were saying a word just before at the first part of this show, you were saying rechargeable batteries. You got rid of these little batteries which are getting into the bin.
That's right, yeah.
100% of your products now are rechargeable?
100%,
yeah,
very important.
But it's a good point also. How do you do, and it will be my last question before asking Abel to tell us what he thinks about today, but can you still be interesting the whole countries?
To all countries?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very true that Europe and America and Scandinavia and maybe Asia all have different influences and different things that they find exciting about products.
Yeah.
What we have found over the years is that you can't sell the same product in every market. There's no question that someone in Japan is not going to want a 2,300 lumen light when they ride their bikes through a small street with traffic lights.
Yeah.
And someone in America is going to want lights which have a different purpose to someone riding in Switzerland. So we have enough products and enough options for people to choose a product which is suitable for them, both in relation to the price and the output and the materials and the way that it mounts.
And it's also why you are counting on people like Now Company so that they are picking up for their own market, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So they will buy to their conditions and they then help the dealer understand the products which will work best for them. And hopefully that then goes down to the consumer so they get the best products for what they're doing.
Thank you very much, Hugo. We have one last question, but first we're entering the last minute of this Rayon Libre. It will be time to hear Abel Guggenheim after his chronic. I will have then one last question for you, Hugo. Where do you see Knog within 22 years? But you have three minutes to think about it, because now we are listening to you, to Abel Guggenheim. Abel, the mic is yours.
Bonjour. J'ai assisté vendredi dernier à Paris à la journée de lancement de la filière France Vélo, aussi dénommée écosystème du vélo en France. Cette filière est portée par un collectif d'acteurs associatifs, économiques, institutionnels et territoriaux et rassemble les représentants de l'économie du vélo en France afin de porter une vision commune et des actions au service du développement de ces différents segments d'activité. Produire des vélos et des composants, développer le tourisme à vélo, installer les services vélos indispensables à la pratique, construire des aménagements cyclables de qualité pour ainsi avoir plus de cyclistes dans tous les territoires. Ce regroupement s'est matérialisé fin juin, à la veille du premier tour des élections législatives, par un contrat de filière avec l'État qui a été signé par 6 ministres, transition écologique, industrie, transport, tourisme, sport, emploi et formation. Espérons que les changements de répartition des ministères intervenus samedi lors de la présentation des ministres du gouvernement de Michel Barnier ne viendront pas bousculer ces bonnes intentions. 6 projets présentés comme emblématiques ont été plus particulièrement développés vendredi dernier. Développer l'assemblage des cycles en France, créer un score pour le vélo sur le modèle du Nutri-Score, développer l'usage du vélo pour les trajets domicile-travail, renforcer et étendre la marque Accueil Vélo, compléter et enrichir les dispositifs de formation, réaliser l'annuaire de la filière vélo. L'ensemble des projets répond à 4 enjeux majeurs, réindustrialisation et innovation, transition écologique, développement touristique, attractivité des emplois et des formations, évaluation et communication. C'est une excellente initiative. Si vous m'écoutez parfois sur cette antenne, il ne vous aura sans doute pas échappé que je ne déborde pas d'enthousiasme pour le développement de la place prise par les vélos à assistance électrique et même les vélos électriques sans assistance humaine dans l'accueillante famille des vélos. Mais je suis bien obligé de constater que c'est cette évolution qui a permis de créer cette filière économique et de jeter les bases de cette organisation, simplement parce qu'un vélo à assistance électrique, s'il coûte en moyenne à la personne qui l'utilise 5 fois plus qu'un vélo, rapporte symétriquement 5 fois plus aux différentes étapes de la chaîne de construction, de distribution et de service autour des vélos et des VAE. Cette présentation m'a vivement intéressé. N'est pas si lointain le temps où, comme le rappelait vendredi le coprésident de la FUB, Olivier Schneider, on nous expliquait que le développement du vélo n'était pas souhaitable parce qu'il risquait de mettre en péril les emplois liés à l'automobile. L'accession à la respectabilité de l'industrie du vélo est une excellente nouvelle dont on ne peut qu'espérer qu'elle se développe. À lundi prochain.
Hugo, where do you see Knog within 22 years?
Wow. look, I don't know if I'm going to be still in the same position. I think there's still an opportunity. When you think about night sports and you think about the way that people want to go out and enjoy themselves at night, there's always going to be a reason to have light. And so I see us as being masters of light and that ability to be able to take it so people can explore and do what they need to do. I just think it will continue in that path.
Plus, with the global warming, I mean, people will probably practice more and more cycling and training and running during the night, especially probably in Australia, where it's quite warm and quite hot, rather than in the, under the 40 degrees. Many thanks, Hugo. Auditor, thanks for coming. Thanks for your words. Looking forward to see your new product and the new brand, which is behind Nog. Auditeur, auditrice, c'est la fin de Rayon Libre. Vous pouvez reprendre votre vélo. N'oubliez pas d'allumer les lumières, parce qu'être une lumière ne vous a jamais rendu plus visible sur un vélo, même la nuit. N'oubliez pas d'aller pédaler. Une journée sans pédaler, c'est une journée gâchée. Ou en anglais, don't forget to ride your bike. A day without cycling is a wasted day. À la semaine prochaine avec un nouvel inédit de Rayon Libre. Restez sur Caisse 93.1, Cause Commune. Il est 14h30. Merci de votre fidélité et merci pour vos messages et vos commentaires. À la semaine prochaine.
Rayon Libre.